Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 221. Why do I put up with this?
You did that to yourself. You started cracking up out of
nowhere.
You
let him come. You can't.
I know.
Ryan Sargent started that.
Well, that's true. But no, not the when you were done. Most people can exhale quietly.
Some people can.
Apparently. So Adam goes around all day.
I was like, so I'm going to do mid-podcast. If we had a conversation, I'll be like,
very violent.
Can you bring the battle axe next week?
We got to open the box.
Do you open the box?
No.
Sweet.
Not to open the box of the awesome, valiant 4001 AD time capsule that we received yesterday.
Buttons or old pennies.
Old pennies. I'll ask him. Hey, Andy, did you send me old pennies?
It's just a bunch of Galad's hair, man. They said that was a possibility.
It's the remnant of a geomancer that he failed to save.
This could be all.
It's the bones.
He is.
You having trouble with that? You need help?
I cut my fingernails.
Here.
I can't. No, I don't need you handling my bottle.
Oh, man.
Okay. Josh is having trouble opening his iced tea.
Yeah.
But let's get started. I'm Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are
Pathetic Josh.
Dave.
It's a Pat. There you go. It's Ninjack.
We go around like we're the Mickey Mouse Club here.
No, it's funny because the one podcast. Jeez.
Cubby.
How do I say this nicely? We're old, Dave, because I remember that.
Colin King for the win.
What?
Ninja, Colin King.
Oh, okay.
Not you.
I don't.
Thank you for the assistance.
You're
though.
Welcome.
Yeah, you
totally lost where I was going. Thanks. Oh, this podcast I listen to out of California. It's just funny. They do kind of the same thing where they all introduce. You know, it's the same thing. There you go. So this past weekend was
experience the full thing.
Yeah, yeah. They appreciated it.
Did we finish the intros?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, remember you were
Josh? You were busy cutting open your bottle. Mm.
Josh is here too.
Yeah. Well, you said pathetic Josh.
So
we'll have to remember that for the whole
podcast. At the time I was pathetic because I couldn't get the wrapper off, but then I cut it open and it was very manly.
It was very manly. Because you used a knife.
Yeah.
I did.
A ninja knife.
Yes. Uneducated.
So what happened with you, Colin? Anything
What's up?
Exciting?
How's life?
Life's good.
Do you have a good story to tell?
No. I'm just going to say, Free Comic Day was Saturday, which was fun. I hope everybody had a good time. I got to figure out a better way not to get buried behind the counter for the entire time.
Hire competent people.
Well, the thing is, I can just move the line along so much faster than anybody else. That's the main reason.
That's why I said hire competent people.
I understand. But it's just experience. I've used the computer system for 6 years.
I mean, maybe
after
a year.
Yeah, Tim will
be faster.
Yeah.
Well, you can get a sign that's just like, be back in 5 minutes.
No.
That would not work.
That would not help. Yeah.
But something to kind of direct more people towards the other register, too.
Because,
like I was saying before, a lot of people seem to think the other register couldn't do points.
Right. No. It was full serve.
A lot of the time, though, people want to come they'll ask. Like, Tim will ask people to come over to his line.
They want
to talk to
me.
For some reason. I mean,
it's because you have so much free time on Free Comic.
No, it's not that. But I understand they want to say, hey, because like a lot of people, like I didn't see Dave at all. So I did not know Dave was here.
Yeah, when you were busy in line, before I was about to leave, I walked up and said, hey, thanks a lot. I'll see you later.
You didn't see this Dave at all.
And then I said, no.
And now there's photographic evidence.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I did not know Dave was here.
He was here for a while.
I knew you were there,
too.
Dave. I saw everybody else, yeah.
I didn't see
all of the pictures I took, you were a blur, though.
He's fast. He's quick.
Can't take pictures of Sam.
Yeah. Ooh.
I didn't, yeah.
Point.
I was surprised that I took
a red blur.
Okay. So, besides that,
Dave's red tornado, too.
So, Pat, is there any news this week?
There's a few things, a few items. I guess we'll talk about the movie that came out
end. Yeah.
One of these days, you're just going to be like, no.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
All right. IDW announced that there's going to be a Mask series. Remember we were talking about last week, Mask? Yeah. Now there's going to be a Mask comic book.
Well, I think I had heard that. That's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just saw it actually last night.
Well, they need something to save their line of, you know, misused these characters. Because Micronauts was okay. You said ROM was.
Well, I saw an interesting, I guess a review. It was just on a message board, and they're like, they posted the original ad for ROM from back in the 80s.
Okay.
And it said there was more information about the character conveyed in this one ad than in that entire issue. And he was pretty true. It had, ROM, Space Knight from this country seeking the dire race, and this is his story or something. And the issue kind of meanderingly got to that. Sorry. I just thought that was good.
Disappointingly, though, with the Mask series, there's not going to be a T-Bob. They did say that. T-Bob was the scooter that his son used to ride, and it was like a robot that turned into a scooter, and it was super annoying. It will still be Venom.
I don't remember. I remember the ad on the back of the comics.
Okay. The toys
with the guy with the beard and the headband.
The toys were so effing awesome.
They were.
Man, I love those toys. I can like visualize all these different ones in my head. The Jeep that turned into a boat with the depth charges off the back.
Gator.
One day they could be.
Man, you remember the names of all of them?
A lot of them.
Oh man.
Because I had that one, and it was a boat. When you pulled the lever on it, front of it jumped up, and the boat shot out.
Yeah. So sweet.
It's kind of fun. Just zoom so you can.
The Wolverine 3 just started filming, and they've already announced it's going to be rated R, which I kind of have a problem with. Why not just make the movie, and then what it is what it is, instead of, we're making an R-rated movie?
This is how they market things anymore. It's really weird.
Yeah. I mean, and if it's going that's the route of Old Man Logan, okay, I get that's probably where it's going to end up, But there's a difference between intending to write or, you know, make the movie that way and or turning out that way. They announced that the guy that wrote X-Men First Class is going to be writing a Booster Gold movie.
Yeah. Really? I didn't hear that announcement.
That just came out today.
Yeah, I heard something about
that. Which I heard, it was a few months ago, they were talking about a Booster Gold movie, and what I thought it was supposed to be was a Booster Gold Blue Beetle like buddy comedy. So I'm assuming it's the same project, but I don't know.
Be fun. Some interesting changes with the DC movie universe.
Yeah. The other thing I announced yesterday was that Green Lantern was moved, but they only moved it by a month, which I'm not exactly sure why they did that. It looked like there was another movie that was coming out close to it that they didn't want to cannibalize the audience for.
Yeah.
Or they were trying to avoid.
Well, that and also they announced that Affleck is going to be a producer on Justice League.
Yeah. Which, I guess that makes sense. Or giving him, you know.
Which means he'll have say in
I don't think Ben Affleck's very happy with Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Like, at all. That's what it seems like. They said he just did not take the negative press very well on Batman versus Superman.
He
just kind of mocked it, from what I've heard. He's like, whatever, people feel whatever they want.
Well, it's they
like,
all did that. They all kind of
It's like,
but I mean, I can understand why he would be like that. Because he had Daredevil, which was panned, and he stepped away from that whole type movie for a long time, and then he comes back in this hugely iconic role. His role in it gets praised, but the movie as a whole gets, panned by most of the media.
Yeah.
I would be kind of
miffed about it, too.
Especially for someone who, like, he's had some bombs in his career.
But those are
pretty far back now at this point. Like, everything he's done in the past decade, at least, has been pretty solid.
Yeah. The other thing they were talking about with the Batman movie is they were saying, pretty much all the iconic villains were going to make an appearance, which...
That could just be a walkthrough Arkham Asylum, though.
Yeah, it could be, or it could be they're going to do Hush.
Mm, yeah.
I don't think they would do Nightfall, because that, I mean, that obviously had a lot of villains in it too, where you kind of had to run the gauntlet before you fought Bane.
Nightfall ties too much back into Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think they would do that. But Hush, it's a brand new villain we've never seen on the screen. And, you know, they potentially have the ability to do, you know, Clayface and Mad Hatter and,
yeah,
you know, guys we've never seen on the screen, and like, not Jim Carrey's Riddler. You know, there was just too manic to really be a menace. It was Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
It was the mask, just wasn't the mask.
Yeah. I did like that movie, though. It wasn't bad.
I wasn't a fan of Two-Face in it.
I liked Tommy Lee Jones. I didn't love the way Two-Face was depicted. But yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it, though. It was just kind of like middle of the road for me. Val Kilmer's Batman was fine. I like Heaton better, but...
Yeah.
Better than Clooney's Batman.
Bat nipples.
Sometimes you gotta have bat nipples.
I understand. I understand.
Never mind, Geronimo.
He's bailing, folks.
I was gonna say, maybe Clooney's nipples are just that profound. They had to, like, mold them in the soup.
Okay. That's all I got, Colin.
It was them. It wasn't the soup. They're coming through the suit.
What are we going to do with these nipples? He needs room. Oh, why are you giving me that look? We're talking about comic book related stuff.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay. Clooney's nipples have been a topic of conversation in the comic community for years.
It's true. He's not wrong.
I didn't say anything.
What's your
you give me the look. You give me the disapproving look.
Really? That was cool. Rant-wise, I just have one, more of an annoyance, but Marvel announced, what was it, Monday? That Civil War II is going to have a prequel called Ulysses, which is going to give you all the background and information about this new Inhuman who can see the future, which spurs everything. And then they also announced that it's going to be digital first.
Digital only, I thought.
No, well, not digital only. It's coming into print in August, which is after issue 4. And
maybe.
I'm like, well, true, maybe. Issue 3 is scheduled for the end of July. You're right.
So after issue 1 is
so, well, and the fact that issue 0 was supposed to come out this week and is delayed till next week, it's like, this is, yay. But it just annoys me that a prequel, I don't want to say forcing, but they're encouraging, you know, they're definitely pushing the digital online stuff. And I'm sure when you do that, it'll say, click here if you want to get the rest of Civil War digitally. And it's just,
yeah.
The other thing that bums me out is that I've already had to commit my numbers for 0, 1, and 2, and then they come out with this. And it's like, that's kind of shady, you know. So, hey, I want to, who is this guy? Well, you can find out online, or you can come back in August to get it from me. So, I just didn't appreciate that. And like I said in the email, I forwarded it to these guys. But just saying, this is why I dislike Marvel, and it's not the comics. It has nothing to do with the comics. It just has to do with the way the company operates. It's a little... You know, any way they can to get around us, which, hey, we're your biggest spokesman. We're the guys out there hucking your books, telling people what's good. If it was just up to them, people wouldn't find stuff.
I hate, though, that every book you pay a dollar more for a digital.
You know, we were talking, when Tony was here, we were talking about that. Because I was talking, there was a customer yesterday, Adam dealt with, where he said, oh, yeah, next month begins the DC price increase.
Huh?
Well, because he's viewing it as now it's $6 a month instead of $4 for Batman and books like
you're
that.
Getting 2 bucks.
Right, but I'm like, that's just a weird way to look at it because
twice as much content.
Right, and
most Marvel books are double shipping.
I mean, I don't love the shipping either.
Right,
but you can't look at a price increase because you're getting your 2 books.
And Tony's like, Tony mentioned the $4, and I said, well, you do get the digital code. He's like, I've never used it, and then he's like, no, that's not fair. I used it once. I used it on Star Wars number 1 and hated it. And, you know, but you're forced to do it. Now, granted, DC doesn't give you the option. They did for a little bit when they tried it and it really didn't work. And then we found out later that that was a complete disaster, only because those bags that were on those books completely disintegrated. And I had them in boxes down in the basement. Yeah. And they had I had to bring in the shop vac. There was so much mess from the bags literally disintegrating.
I redeem the codes on my Marvel books. Okay. I very rarely read a physical Marvel book.
Okay.
I buy it, bag it, board it after redeeming the code because the books are crap.
Yeah.
The paper's crap. The ink's crap. It.
In most cases, the story is crap.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't have to go there. But yeah.
But no, it is. Like, you read a Marvel book, and I feel like...
The ink's coming off on your hand.
Instantly. And it's awful. It's, for $4, give me a break. It's the worst quality comic books.
That was one thing I definitely was noticing on Saturday.
People, if I don't want to spend the extra dollar for the digital, because I'm only going to read it once, and then it's going to go in a box anyway, give me the choice.
Yeah. People bringing up, you know, they were holding on to books for a while, the Marvel ones. Like, just a lot of wet hands really mangling the books.
I would honestly, with the Marvel ones, just buy the digital copies if it wasn't for the fact that digital costs the exact same as the physical ones. So at that point, it's like if I can buy the physical and get the code anyways.
Is it $3.99? I'm just wondering because one of the dollars is for the digital code. So
I'm pretty sure it's $3.99.
Okay, that's just, I mean, I realize we'd probably raise. Let's think if it was less, but that's just kind of odd. So that's my only thing. Here's why I'm not a big fan of Marvel.
But even there, you know, why would you wait until you're halfway through a series?
Mm-hmm.
Here's all the background information you need to know to understand the character that seems to be the focal point of the series.
Well, you want
to
know? I'll tell you why. Because they forgot about it. And it's something they just kind of threw together, but they can't get into the previews until the June previews.
What?
So.
No. They wouldn't.
Because I'm sure it's going to be awesome. But it's just one of those, because I know Matt was telling, like, oh, you know, this is the first appearance of this character. I'm like, and he gave a character, the guy with the sight thing and the dog or something, one of the Inhuman characters. And I'm like, I don't know about that. And it's not that guy at all. So it's this complete new character who you read about for the first time, I think, in the Zero, the Civil War Zero
It's not the guy
book.
That was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is it?
That
the guy
I don't
with
know.
No eyes?
I don't think. No, he's the teleporter.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But the funny thing was Bleeding Cool mentioned that the Civil War Zero Free Comic Book Day book actually takes place, like, after issue one or something. It's like, because issue zero and one all both can show previews. Everybody read that one, right? The Civil War Zero. I don't want to give away anything.
Yeah.
But basically, bad things happen to She-Hulk and War Machine. And he says previews for issues zero and one both include both of them fine. So they take place before. So it's like, okay, so you're spoiling some of your story for your Free Comic Book Day book, which again leads me to think that maybe that was not fully fleshed out either. And that was a weird book anyway, because why would War Machine think he could take on Thanos? But a little side... Well, yeah, I guess maybe we'll get to reviews. I'll talk more about that. But, yeah, that's all.
War Machine's costume hasn't changed in all these years, has it?
Well, but he has, because you have to remember, back during the original Secret Invasion, he was like Cyborg. Yeah. He was half robot, because he had been severely damaged, I think in Afghanistan or something. Been almost blown up, and then when they came out with Iron Man 2.0, he was fine, and in the text piece at the beginning it said because his body was so damaged, they transferred his consciousness into a clone. So I'm like, okay, so if he's hurting this, I really don't care. They can just transfer his consciousness into a clone. It doesn't matter.
Let's make another one.
So I'm like, you can only do that little game so many times.
They pulled a Nick Fury.
Yeah.
It was an LMD.
So, that's all I got. Anybody else have anything to discuss?
Rant-wise?
Stuff? Anything you've read, you've seen? I mean, not comic-wise, but anything, any stories you've seen about or anything? No, Adam doesn't know how to read.
It's all Saw movie.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that
we'll
later.
Talk about that
that's spoilers! Spoilers!
Yeah.
Like when Hulk showed up, I didn't see that coming. Okay.
Yeah. Any questions?
No, the only question I had, it was from last week, it was James asked what I thought about the different Free Comic Book Day books, but I really hadn't.
I'm going to change this up where there's a button right on the right panel for submitting podcast questions. Have you got any of the form submissions to the website? Not a single one. Why do I bother?
Your shirt's working.
My shirt's working?
I'm kidding.
He's the webmaster.
I know, he's the webmaster.
You tested it. You responded.
I know.
Snarkily.
That's what I do.
What? No.
No, but your statement just there is mine pretty much every week.
He cannot help himself from replying to any sort of test that I do on the webpage that generates.
Especially because you do it on Monday, so I'm literally sitting at home on the sofa, and I check my email, and there's like, some test email, but you put something, and I respond back to it.
But I could do like three in a row, and he'll respond to each one.
He knows it's you. But...
Exactly. I'm just playing with you. But I forget.
And in my head, like, I imagine him like sitting there, like, giggling as he's doing it.
You got that right. He responded to one. I forget. I had a lot of fun responding to that. Well, thank you for inquiring about that.
Yeah, like, he formulates a nice long response sometimes.
Oh, let me have my fun. So, Adam, we'll let you start, since you only have a few books on your list, because...
I read your books,
Before I start, do you have a sale for this month? Or some sort of promotion? Nothing?
No.
Not that I thought about.
Look, it's only
the 11th, man.
This segment is a lot of
No. Free Comic Book Day is a beast, and literally envelops all of my time.
No, I get that.
And now I'm still kind of in the... downward. So, I mean, the store's back to order and everything, but it's just...
What's the next comic book movie coming out for this?
Age of Apocalypse, but we might not want to talk about that. We could do an X-Men sale.
That comes out, though, this month.
Yeah. Well, we can do it. Yeah, there you go. X-Men. For the rest of the month, we'll do double points on all X-Men books. Good job, Adam. Yeah.
Thank you, Colin.
I was just as you brought that up, it was interesting.
Adam.
Good job.
Thank you, Josh.
There was a thing on the beat talking about the problem with the X-Men movies, and like they had reviewed it poorly, and somebody sent them a link to this YouTube video that he hasn't seen the movie yet, but he was talking about it, and then he was like, it's interesting that the X-Men kind of started everything, Spider-Man too, but how they started off mocking the comics, like, the leather uniforms and everything, and it's like, and it goes on to this big long thing about that's what made the X-Men special, was the colorful costumes. You had these kids who were different, and this is their way to express themselves, even though they were part of a group. They were still expressing themselves with their different costumes, and he was talking about how Cyclops and Wolverine's uniforms are basically reverse of the colors, but that let you know that they were not foes, but clashing just rivals by looking at them. And just little things like that, and he's like, and then in the movies you get black leather. And then it showed this hilarious thing where they had to do this action scene wearing those costumes, and it was like jumping over a wall. And Hugh Jackman went to jump and just went right into the wall because he couldn't bend in those. And it had him and James Marsden. You could hear him going, "What? Who could move in these costumes? These are the worst things ever." And it's like, yeah, maybe spandex isn't so stupid, Just, but it was very interesting just talking about. And it talked about. He said it played that opening. It said, "How dynamic is that? You have these colors, brush, but you know everything you need to know about every one of these characters in that brief little thing
from the 90s cartoon.
You go to the movies and they showed a picture of the whole cast and it was all in black leather and there was nothing interesting or unique about any of them. It was just kind of neat. But yeah, so that was on the beat. So just when you made that, that triggered that. So, Adam, which of the few books you read would you like to talk about?
Amazing Spider-Man, number 12.
No, we're not talking about that. Okay. Now, I have
not
a problem.
So amazing anymore.
I have a problem with this book just by looking at the cover, is that it had Regent. It mentioned Regent from
It also
Secret
says
Wars.
On the cover, and I was going to mention that. It says on the cover, the debut of Regent.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't the debut of Regent.
And my problem with it, not the book, I didn't read the book, but just so... What's real, what's not? What came out of Secret Wars, what didn't? So if this character who was created in Secret Wars is now present, and we have Miles came over and is now in this universe, along with his whole family, were they displaced? Have they always been there? The rules seem to be very vague as to what exactly happened. Because some books, like Thor, didn't change at all, yet some books now clearly did. what are the rules? You know, somebody made a good point. They're like, if Franklin remade the Marvel universe, yeah, you said this, why would you put Thanos in it?
Yeah.
One of your big, you know, a huge thing that no one could stop. And he died, the real, our Marvel 616 Thanos died in Secret Wars. So he had to recreate Thanos on this Earth. Why would you do that? One of the biggest guys that you can't stop.
Well, because he can. If he can create universes, he can stop.
But he's not there, and look, you know, something bad is happening in Civil War because of Thanos. So it's just odd. Why wouldn't you make it a utopia? Why would you create conflict?
Because the human mind can't have a utopia. Didn't you ever see The Matrix? They tried it. It didn't work.
But, okay. But just there's kind of...
Good
now,
point, Pat.
Now, to be fair, they did come out with a guidebook that maybe that did have all of it in it. So
you shouldn't need a guidebook.
I hear you.
Now you got to buy accessories to read comics.
But okay, Adam, go back to your Regent story.
Okay, so in Amazing Spider-Man number 12.
It's just sad that you need a guidebook or something to make sense of the 20-page story that you read.
Yeah. It's a bit much.
It's not like you're reading Dante's Inferno. Paradise Lost.
I didn't need a guidebook for that.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I have an advanced degree, and I need
a
guidebook.
The Divine Comedy kind of does need a guidebook sometimes.
Much different than a comic, though.
Yes.
If your comic book cannot be understood, then you probably aren't using the medium properly.
Probably, yeah, exactly. Amazing Spider-Man number 12. I kind of like this issue. Besides what Colin was talking about Regent, because it. I like out of Secret Wars. I actually like that book dealing with Regent. He just seemed like a different kind of character, but he seemed very 90s. He's this character who basically takes people's powers, but how he does it is he basically plugs them into a computer. So it's kind of like the Matrix, and then he harnesses their powers into
into him. Read the book.
So he knows.
Did you read the guidebook?
No.
What did you know about him?
The Matrix, I said.
Oh, yes, it's very much The Matrix. So he's kind of an interesting idea. In the Secret War book, it was a little bigger. He kind of took over. He was the Baron of this world, and he ran it through using all these powers, and he was the only one allowed to have powers.
Guys, hold on. I think the Joker's here.
Yes.
I just heard cackling.
No, I thought this was the guidebook. Open that up. That's all you need to read to figure out what's going on in the Marvel Universe.
It's kind of dense.
Yeah, kind of. Sorry. Marvel did come out with it. What is it called?
All New, All Different Universe.
And I realized I still had a copy, so I looked
just
it up.
If you don't need a guidebook for Sandman, why do you need a guidebook for...
It's just I opened it up to see if it was like, bullet points, blah, blah, blah. No, it's like basically, it's like a magazine with just... Tons of text.
It actually reminds me.
I wasn't trying to be the Joker, but when I opened it up, I know when I opened it up, I was just like, "Oh my!"
Marvel used to do guidebooks a lot of times. Yeah. Remember they used to do those. You'd buy them every once in a while, explaining like different characters. They'd also do it like if they restarted like something, like Ultimates when they knew.
Oh well, this is really old ones. That is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. Exactly.
Whoa.
We're and it's the one where it's Ant-Man and Medusa and She-Hulk.
Yeah. What a weird
That was FF. Or, yeah, the
yeah,
second
FF.
FF.
It's an F song.
Killed this
Amazing Spider-Man 12 dealt with Peter was giving a speech for a charity that he was doing, and who shows up to kind of ruin it is MJ with Tony Stark.
Oh, snap!
And they were just like...
Where's Pepper?
He's like...
Oh, that's right. She wasn't in the movie either.
I have more money than you, even though you're rich, too. And look, I have another redhead. And yeah, it was on at this point. He also meets the guy who... I forget his name. It's something Roman. Augustus Roman is Regent's name. And he is actually building a prison there after the raft went under after Superior Spider-Man. People have been trying to build a new prison, a privatized prison, and one of them is Alchemax, and the other one is Regent, and he's built a prison called the Cellar. The Ghost shows up. You remember Ghost? He was the one who kind of messed up Peter's first building and blew it up. He was he walks through walls, stuff like that.
Yeah, Thunderbolts. He was big in Thunderbolts a while back. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shows up and he's wanting to ruin something. I don't know what he's doing there, to tell you the truth. I think he's mad at Regent for doing something. But anyways, Spider-Man breaks this up. Spider-Man and Iron Man are both like having this little fight going on. Who's better? So they finally team up and are able to take him down. But they were at odds, so they weren't beating him. Ghost is taken to the prison for Regent, the Cellar, and he locks him up. But he also is locking up characters like Tombstone and somebody else, I don't know. And it turns out whenever everybody leaves, they put Tombstone into like a test tube type deal, a big tank, like Luke Skywalker was on an Empire.
Back the tank.
Yes. And plugs him into it, and basically now he can utilize Tombstone's powers. And he's becoming Regent. That's really what the book was about. It wasn't bad. My favorite thing about this book was the use of old characters, like Harry Osborn was there, and Liz Allen was there, and MJ, and it just felt like, okay, Dan Slott doesn't do a bad job writing these Peter Parker friends. He does a good job of doing that, so I think it was nice, you know, it felt like Spider-Man a little bit more, unless, yeah, super spy. Where he was hanging out with Mockingbird and all these, and it's just like, yeah, he's not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know. But no, it wasn't bad. Walking Dead number 154. You read that?
Yeah, I read that.
It was good. I liked it. It dealt a lot with Negan.
Had a good beat. You could dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Dance. A lot dealt with Negan. That Michonne finds the kid's body.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think anybody really cared.
No, and that's I don't know how they could want to care. I mean, his dad tried to kill Rick.
Yeah.
His mom
instigated the whole thing.
Well, she got killed with the
she was killed with them.
The other the Whisperers.
So he just, that kid wasn't very happy. So no. He kind of put him out of his misery, I guess.
Yeah.
Negan then. But they didn't really want to do anything with him, though. They were just like, let's just leave him here for now and then we'll come back because.
Yeah, and who, I forget who she was with.
Yeah,
who's
I don't
like,
know who that guy is.
They didn't get him in the head. He, you know, he'll turn. She's like, we'll deal with it later.
We'll deal with it later, yeah.
Because to dismount and stab him, you know, or just take your katana.
Yeah,
and stab
it would take too long to do that.
So
I figured he'll show back up. Negan was kind of interested in this. He was, like, negotiating with Alpha's group. The what do they call them now?
The Whisperers.
The Whisperers, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing about, well, you know, do you all wear full suits or is it just a mask?
And then Beta shows up.
Yeah.
And then he's just this really big guy, and his whole conversation with him is really funny. But, it looks like he could probably become the alpha in this group. I think that's what it's going to turn into. I think that's how he kind of gets into power, but we'll see. I liked it, though. I thought it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Decent read this time, so a lot more happened in it. Claws, number 5. Dave, you read that.
Yes. Clues.
Yes, clues. Clues.
Clues.
Clues. after all that. It was, I like this book. I really book. And it's, you know, Grant Morrison doesn't go just completely insane with writing this one. It's easy, really easy book to follow. But
I think the cover gave away too much, though.
Yeah.
He didn't even appear in the book.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. But and the other thing, I love how, you know, this is more coal than we'll ever need. No, he wants more coal.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously it tying into your legend, Dave.
Yes,
that is right. I love all the times they explained his. His,
are they accurate, Dave?
I can tell you, but I have to kill you. Adam.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't want to.
Santa's a killer.
They explain why his.
Ask. Tell him. Tell him.
Suit, I will tell you. His suit is
red and white.
Red and white. White for the snow and red for the blood of the people of Grimsvig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that line he has about how I'm the only one who has to work in Yuletide.
Yeah, Yuletide.
Yeah.
No man can work on Yuletide except me.
Yeah. Something the city's like rebelling, though.
Yeah.
They're kind of tired of what it's called, Lord Farquhar, but
Lord Farquhar.
Baron whatever nonsense, but he was, that guy's just a douchebag. Sorry, but he's just an awful person.
Well, yeah, and he's worried about the prince is going to kill him. It's okay, but the prince has all the power. This is going to happen.
Yeah. And he wanted to, that's why he's been wanting to free the whatever's in the rock.
Do we absolutely know what it is?
Yeah, that we know exactly what it is. But, and then, let's see.
It's Sam the Snowman.
It's an elf.
But,
it's Buddy the Elf.
They do retaliate against him, and they hit him with, like, poison arrows.
Yeah.
And then this little boy takes him to into the woods.
Yeah, he drags him back into the forest.
But he, like, walks into this tunnel that's a bunch of trees with, like, demon-like faces on them and stuff like that. So. It's good. It's a really good book.
It's really art just gorgeous with all those rooftop scenes and everything. He just did a fantastic job with that art.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Two issues left of it.
Ugh.
Two issues. But yeah, it's going to be a really good, trade, hardcover, whatever.
Yeah,
to read all at once.
But this is a Grant Morrison book that you can read and not have to read it in trade.
No, I think you'll understand what's going on.
Yeah.
You won't have to reread it either. Over and over again, like Final Crisis or Multiversity.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's really going to be worth getting. Okay, I want just a few of the.
You have a list.
Well, you have four books on your list.
One I don't want to talk about.
You already talked about three of them.
I want to talk about two of the free comic book day books that I picked up.
No.
Too bad. One is Captain America. I actually really like this one. I mean, not a lot. It's a little introduction into him, you know, becoming Cap again. There was a lot of things that happened in it that kind of made you more interested in a first issue, the first issue coming out, which I think is a mission accomplished for a free comic book day book, because I think that's half of the reason why they should exist. Not just to get new readers in the comic books, but also to kind of give you a preview of a new book coming out. And I think it did a good job with that. But it was really decent. The backup story... There was only one problem I had with Captain America. They reveal at the end that the Red Skull is after him. And I didn't know... Like, there have been a couple Red Skulls show up. Like, the one from the Avengers storyline, Uncanny Avengers, wasn't the same... Yeah, it wasn't the same... Red Skull, who was on the television screen, who became like Zola and was supposedly killed off and Cap reborn that we haven't seen. I don't know if this one is that or what, but also Sen was there, his daughter, and she
with
had a face.
Yeah.
And that was pretty well burned off in Cap reborn. So I don't really know what was going on with that, but
Franklin fixed it.
Hopefully, Franklin fixed it, so it's all right. But I liked it. I still liked it. I hope Nick Spencer does a good job with this story. I think he's a good choice to put on Captain America because he had a few. He did Secret, a few Secret Avengers when it first started.
And he did that first run after all new Marvel.
So I'm looking forward to that. There was a backup story for Dead No More that gave some reveals of what's going on, not who this man in red is, but it showed that somebody else, it showed a character that has been dead for a while come back from Peter's life.
No more.
Yeah. And it's a character that I don't know if I would have brought back, but I don't want to mention it.
Why?
Okay.
It's a free comic.
Well, yeah, I guess I could mention it.
It's Frog.
It was Gwen Stacy.
What?
Gwen Stacy's alive or something.
What? Well, another Gwen Stacy's alive. Not the one that Spider-Gwen or Gwenpool. This is another one.
They might have brought back the clone. The Dead No More. If you can bring back one, bring back the clone from Gwen.
Awesome 04000 was the one that wrote this book.
Weak. Lame.
Lame. Okay, Adam Sandler comes and does a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Colin's like, I don't know what's going on. A lot of Egyptian stuff was going on in that book, too. Yeah. So I don't know how that ties into Spider-Man. I don't remember anything Egyptian happening in Spider-Man. But, you know, characters were coming back. He's starting to notice, hey, that person was dead. This person was dead. What's going on? So the art wasn't too great, though. But and then Civil War II, I just wasn't interested in it at all. Just reading it, if I call shenanigans on him not them writing a Civil War movie or Civil War book. Not because there was a movie.
Oh, it's a coincidence. We didn't know the movie was coming out.
Well, in this
you
book,
can't plan those things, Adam.
Of all things to happen, Rhodey goes down. And, you know, he looks pretty well.
It was a shock.
Die.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, come on. You didn't know. You know, the same thing happened in the movie that happened in the...
Spoilers.
Jeez.
God.
What a jerk face.
Yeah, well. Okay. But...
Could not get spoiled.
It could have been better. And then there was a Wasp story in the back of that. You read that.
Yeah.
It's a totally new person.
Bleeding Cool explained it this morning.
Did they?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, actually.
Okay.
I'll give him credit for that one.
I'll have to find that. Because, like, I didn't get, like, they showed.
Because it was revealed in today's Avengers.
Oh. Because they show that Henry, they kept calling him Henry, but Hank Pym was dead. Like, and she was goes into his house after she was going to meet him there, picks up the newspaper on his porch, and it says that he died. And so she just goes into the house and builds herself a Wasp costume. And
you would think the paperboy would know he's dead and would deliver papers if that's the front page.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
He's not going to pay for him.
That's funny.
Yeah, when did he die?
You also check the date on that. But yeah, it wasn't great. It just wasn't.
Since when have Rhodey and Captain Marvel been an item?
That I didn't know either.
Yeah,
for a little while in the Captain Marvel book.
Oh, have they? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I had no idea that was going on. And it was a lot. There was a lot of stuff from, like, it seemed like A-Force in there because a lot of the A-Force characters were. Like fighting, they basically what happened in this book is that they meet up with Ulysses, the Inhumans, and the Inhumans bring Ulysses, and they Captain Marvel's Avengers group wants to, like, do some tests on him and stuff like that so they can understand his power. Well, his thing is basically seeing into the future, and
who's Ulysses? Can I buy an origin?
No, you cannot. You can get it digitally though.
No,
but
check out Marvel.org something, I don't know.
But Ulysses, at that point, sees into the future and sees that Thanos is coming. And they meet him, they meet at the spot where he's going to show up, and then he does. He shows up. But what's funny, he shows up like Cable out of the 90s. Like, he has this ginormous gun and guns on his back.
Yeah,
pouches.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're probably there. It was like...
Why would
Lee
Thanos
kind
keep
of
in his pouches?
And why would Thanos need a gun?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Took out Rhodey, with his hand.
Maybe he doesn't need it; he just likes it.
Yeah.
Well, feels good.
They all fight
like
him.
Simon Baz.
Yeah.
He's kind of confused that he's kind of confused to how they knew he was going to be there.
Yeah.
And in all this chaos, like, somehow Rhodey shoots like a missile at She-Hulk on accident, and it hits her, blasts her into this building. So they're all concerned, and in all this chaos and smoke. Thanos was hiding in there, and he comes out and he punches Rhodey, and supposedly he's in pretty bad shape, and I guess they were able to take, Captain Marvel takes out Thanos real quick.
Thanos isn't exactly a small dude. I'm sure if he punches you,
she used like this power, it almost seemed like, Superman's
Supernova,
yeah, but She does that, takes him down, and then she's like holding Ruby, and she's like, "Oh, we gotta do something."
No.
And then that was face.
No.
That's how it happened. Wasn't
actually
great.
It's more like no.
I wasn't that interested in this story mainly because it seemed like the Civil War story. Like, something happens and somebody pays the price for it, and now they're afraid of somebody else. And it's just like, okay, now we're going to have a war. You know, it's just like, okay. Just wasn't that exciting. But that's it. For me.
Pat, cool.
Oh, okay. Sheriff of Babylon. So.
Heard good things about that issue.
Yeah, it was really good. So, in the last couple issues, Nasir, who was an Iraqi police detective, and his wife had come on the base, and they're staying with Christopher because it's not safe. Well, this a group show, you know, three guys show up, and they're wearing camouflage, but you get the distinct idea they're not military, although they're wearing, you know, the camouflage. Nasir to come with them, and then one of them claims they see his wife with a gun. They shoot her and kill her, and you know, obviously there's no gun. So, but what's really good about it starts to play into a lot of the politics of it, and just like it's very realistic. Like, you could see that happening in real life. It's just been an excellent story. Just the politics of what was going on in Iraq in 2004 are starting to play into it a little bit now. Punisher. Colin, you read that?
Yeah, okay. I'd read Punisher.
Okay. So there's apparently some new kind of super soldier drug, although I don't necessarily know it's super soldier as much as